tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Sword Art Online fans! Welcome to another edition of the AfterBuzz Recap Show. Is that the new opening I hear?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Can I just say that I am really excited for this arc, but this, oh my gosh, so much of what I love and hate about this series are in these episodes.
Alternating. It's like, this is really great. Show, why did you do that? But now this one's great. But now why did you? Show, make well, up your mind.
Before we get too far into it, how are you all doing tonight?
Well.
I'm so happy with the story they chose to do. Joining me on the panel today, Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
Liz Rishmawi.
I'm back from Japan. Konbanwa, people.
Woo! Tari Miller.
Samurai da.
Whatever.
Joining us in the booth is Stephen Lemieux on the ones and twos.
Yep.
And we have a very, very special guest with us today, Joshua Tomar, who does the voice of Eugene. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Megan Salinas. And let's go ahead and talk about this, because it's very fitting, actually, that we have you here today, because we have come back to Alpine. And
thank God.
Can I just skip my rants out since I was gone the last 2 weeks real quick? Oh, my God, I called it. He's so creepy. Ew, 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 ew. And I'm done. We all called it. Billy Loomis.
Yeah, no offense, Liz, but we all called
no,
it.
No, I know.
Collectively, there was
calling.
I was
the one who brought it up first because of the opening themes.
Don't you start. Don't
you
start.
Done. You are so done.
I actually thought that was him doing it on the mic instead. Like,
that was him.
It was him.
Me, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Good for you.
He was tormenting us with
loop.
That.
He found a 10-minute loop last week and put that up, and that was painful.
I'm glad I'm jet lagged.
Yeah.
But, We recently just wrapped up an arc, which was a murder mystery arc. So we were
which
all
was,
like, that guy's totally the killer.
Yeah,
and it was essentially the plot of Scream. It really was.
It was entertaining. And it was, strangely enough, the best the series has ever been. And what we get in these episodes, episode 15 and 16, is a lot of fun. But again, it's by turns what I love and hate about this particular series.
We get people actually playing the game. And gratuitous panty shots.
Yeah.
Series, why?
Well, there's
Japan.
That. It's so much. It's like, oh, here's great story and character. Fan service. Great action sequences and beautiful set pieces. Tons of heavy exposition, which is a lot of tell and not show.
Right.
Klein being the other woman. Asuna nude scene. Nobody sits like that in a bath. Nobody sits all
know,
over.
I do. When I was in Japan, I feel like I was in that at one point. I was in that position. I was.
If you are in a bath jacuzzi of that size, you don't sit curled up covering everything unless the bath water is cold, at which point you get out. You spread out, man. When you have a bath that nice, take advantage.
I'm just going to point out and say...
Thank you for that.
I'm just going to point out and say that when I was in Japan, I did have, like, it was supposed to be a public bath area in this very Japanese-styled hotel, but I had it all to myself because it was, like, 7 in the morning, and the water was so damn hot, I felt like I had to, like, hold myself a little bit while I was trying to get adjusted to it, and it was a huge bathtub, so, yeah, I did sit like that at one point. I'm just going to say, it could happen. Anyway.
I'm not going to give this show that much credit.
No.
Not me either, but I'm just saying, it happens.
Anyway. It is great to have you back, by the way.
Yes,
it's
yes.
Nice to have you back.
Thanks.
Did you have a good trip?
It was amazing. Yes, I took that picture of that the Asuna thing. I just have to say, it's Akihabara. We're talking about the very fan... It's the part of Tokyo that has, like, all the anime, video games, fan stuff, but it also has, like, buildings that are 6 stories tall that are filled with just, like, they're basically sex shops.
Ugh.
So this is why it wasn't surprising to find in Akihabara, so...
Anyway.
Took it.
So that was fun. Good trip. Anyway, let's go ahead and talk about these episodes, because I don't want to talk about that anymore.
Yeah.
That's enough of that.
We adored your role in Sword Art Online, but most of the arc that it was in was not great. You were in, the three good episodes.
Honestly, the episode that you were in is probably my favorite from that particular arc.
Because it was the best.
It was a really cool fight, yeah. I've definitely watched that a bunch of times. That was actually my first role in an anime, at least that made it on TV.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
I was all giddy about it even.
And you were a badass, too. Like, he's the best player in the game, and he's, 6 feet tall, or probably 7 feet tall. Sorry, 6 feet is tall for me, because I'm short and tiny.
Oh, Megan.
6 feet tall.
I'm definitely not even six. My wife is 6'2". She towers.
But anyway, so let's go ahead and get back to Alfheim Online. And so we open up with Sugu and Kirito, and now that the murder mystery is done, we get an arc that is meant to be kind of a sense of levity after kind of a lot of the dark, murdery stuff that happened in the previous arc.
How much I love, what's her name, her new character avatar with the ears and the legs.
Sinon.
Yes. Like, her, and like, oh, it's so you, it's so cute.
Yeah.
I'm expecting her to have the light sea green hair still.
And I love that she's an archer. Yes. And that she's like, please, I could shoot something from 200 meters away. I need a better bow.
I want more range. I made you a good bow. I want a better bow.
I wanted her to have the crossbow with the gun.
With the little crosshairs on it?
Yeah.
Okay, I think she could rock that.
You do get more distance with a longbow, though.
I know.
But yeah, it's great to see them. But anyway, so Sugu and Kirito... Or Kazuto.
Close
enough. Oh, well. Anyway.
Shonen protagonist.
They're talking,
and sister.
And apparently Excalibur has been discovered in the game. And it's kind of interesting that we have this big old flashback sequence talking about how they initially found it in the game when he used admin privileges to hold it
and
for
it
like a
really
minute.
Look the same, did it?
No.
It was far less impressive.
Was it all gold in this scene where they showed clips of it, and then when he was actually fighting in the last series arc before Gun Gale Online, it wasn't all gold?
It was. I think it looked the same.
My memory.
But
I'm willing to give it enough credit to say, okay, we remade it after the World Seed thing, after we redid Alfheim, and I would imagine that there's actually stuff in the upper floors of the World Tree as well that isn't just admin offices and brain experiments. You know, there might be stuff up there now.
But it was just, it's kind of funny that, this thing has been made such a big deal when, again, he used admin privileges before to hold it for a couple seconds, go, meh, toss it over to the bad guy and be like, okay, come at me, bro.
Yeah.
So I still think it will be fun, and I had fun with these two episodes.
I thought we weren't going to talk about that.
No. And that's the last word on the matter.
Yeah.
But, what?
Sorry.
Anyway.
I have no idea what's going
on. Are you laughing at my trauma?
Yes.
A little bit.
Well, screw you.
Anyway.
Okay, Josh, I'm here with you. I don't know what's going on either.
Okay.
Anyway, so to get back to this, they decide that they're going to go ahead and get the band back together and go on a quest to go find it.
My favorite observation for this part was that, okay, we need 7 people. Okay, here's our usuals. We can't have Agil because he needs to run his cafe. Let's ask Sinon.
He's a responsible adult, unlike everyone else in the show.
It's Kirito and the harem. They couldn't bring Agil because he's a strong, independent man who don't need no Kirito. That's it.
Can I laugh at the fact that the whole scene where he's calling Asuna saying, let's get back together, and she's like, oh man, I'm going to be so sad. I really hope I get to see him before I go back home to Kyoto. And it's like, hey, let's hang out in virtual reality. Yeah! And it's like, why don't you go on a date, chick? Why don't you have some real world interaction? Because when you go to Kyoto, you can still have that. I mean, I don't know, but it was like really annoying.
Why go to a coffee shop?
Go on some sunshine.
But why go to a coffee shop when you can fly around a world?
Because you can still fly around the world together when she's in Kyoto. Whole porn of long distance relationships sucking is because you can't see the person, so why don't you actually see him? My little rant.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Yeah. You're applying logic to this series.
Right.
That's usually my error.
But it is fun, and this is what I'm talking about with these sets of episodes giving us things that I love about this show, is that we finally get to see a lot of these characters interact and play off one another, which we don't get to see very often, because this is the Kirito show and Friends. And so usually it's just Kirito and one of these characters together. So it's nice in something besides the extra edition to see them all together.
And actually doing stuff.
Playing the game.
Just like making a side comment. Like, look, we're going to watch him in this other episode. Like, you know, like we're getting back a lot of the characters. Like, I haven't heard you say three full sentences since episode 3, you know, of the first season. So,
well, you know, I'm just watching this going, Klein's in this episode. I'm so happy. He's so dumb.
It's great.
He makes everything better.
He does.
And you're right. It's absolutely fun to see them play the game, because a lot of the fun of this series is this love of MMOs.
And that's what we loved. I mean, if there was anything we did like out of season 2, I feel that it was because we got to see a lot of the gameplay in the new world with the elves and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Joshua, are you by any chance a fan of MMOs?
I mean, I was hooked on World of Warcraft in my freshman year of college.
Sorry.
And my sophomore year. And
sorry.
Yeah, I had roommates that all played it, so it was impossible to get
I'm
out.
Sorry.
And then more recently, whenever I pick up an MMO like Old Republic or something like that, I wind up playing for like a month and going, "Oh, that was cool," and then never renewing my subscription because I know I'm probably better off.
Yeah.
Just like,
he's
okay.
Like, I have a 6'2" wife. She probably like stares at his ring. Log off.
Well, but some of the fun is with MMOs is that you get to play with your friends online, and that's exactly what we get to see here for like the first time. In a
ever?
Long time.
Yeah.
For the first time.
Stop
in
it.
Forever.
Stop it. There's so much Frozen in Japan. Just stop it.
They are
it's worse
nothing.
Than it was over here.
It's been a year.
I don't care.
Let it go.
No!
Let
go!
Let anyway.
It go.
Steven's stop it, or I'm going to get the button that says we're off topic, and I don't want to get in trouble again. Anyway. I don't know what button that was, but I like that one.
Dramatic. Emphasis.
Anyway, so once we get all the band back together, and again, it's just wonderful to see them play off one another, they go, you know, they decide to go ahead and accept this quest. They go down this crazy dungeon. Kirito's a jerk.
I feel like we've skipped way ahead. Like, we've skipped all of the exposition.
Well, no, we're getting to the exposition because they need to go and find the weird flying elephant thing, and then they go and find the weird elephant thing, and then they fly over. And one of the interesting things about this is, as they're kind of watching, is something about the frost giants have... I wrote it down because there's so much exposition in this episode.
I'm going to call that elephant Whiffet. Weird flying elephant
it was
thing.
Tonky.
Whiffet.
Tonky.
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 Yeah, the
elephant
players
squeaked.
Were piggybacking off of the frost giants, right?
Yeah. There was something going on where, like, players were teaming up with these crazy, like, giant weird monster things. I'll be honest, I had so much trouble keeping track of what was going on because there was so much exposition.
Yeah.
The exposition that we get, and it's Norse mythology based, is that the frost giants are basically coming up and invading this land where the beautiful women and the elephant squid live. And they are trying to kill the beautiful women and the elephant squid. And when they've taken over that land, they're going to keep going up the branches of the world tree and take out Alfheim as well. So this is a huge, huge event going down, and the reason that all of the players are helping the Frost Giants and piggybacking off of that is that the NPC that is the Giant King has told them, hey, Excalibur is your reward if you finish this quest for me. It's a kick down the door, kill the monsters type quest.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these other players are taken in into thinking, oh, if I help them kill the elephant squid, I'll get Excalibur, I'll get the best weapon in the game, yada, 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 go me. And it's our, you know, shonen protagonist et al.
I'm going to seriously charge you a dollar every time you say shonen protagonist.
Take a drink every time I say it. That's more fun.
This is water. It's not as fun.
Well, Josh, that's your problem.
Josh, did you watch this episode?
I didn't.
Yeah. It's like, I want your feedback. Never mind.
But basically, the shonen protagonists take a shot. We're the only ones who know the other side of the story, that this is an invasion, that they're trying to kill this world, and that if they do that, they'll invade the realm of the fairies and kill everyone there as well. That's the exposition.
And then Thor comes in.
Mic drop.
So they need to go in and get Excalibur, because once they do that, the World Tree will reconnect to this world, and all of the Frost Giants will be pushed out, and life will be restored, and everything will be good.
And Loki will be there being like,
can I just say I love the story that this is based on, and I'll get to that when we get to next episode.
Well, you basically finished recapping the entire episode.
Yeah, that's all it was!
That was basically it. That's basically the end of episode 15 was exposition, exposition, exposition. Okay, let's go.
Yep. Yeah, basically.
Yep. Winner!
Look at how cool that scene was when they all got their weapons back, right? Can we just flashback on that? Lizbeth's just like,
poses like that?
I do. Every day.
Pose like a team, because... Duff just got
it's real. Not even like they
even say
it's
it.
Not even like somebody was like, okay, let's take a picture, but no, they all posed for literally no reason.
Guys, we need this shot for the opening.
People don't do that in real
life. I do that when I'm like, I have like my cat litter scooper and I like clean out the box. I'm like, done. And then like I made like a really cool heroic pose. It's like, I don't have anything to do in my apartment. This is what I do.
I just feel very sad.
Yeah. It's like I even hired a fanfare guy. Whenever I hit the pose, he just goes, do, 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 do. It's great.
No, no.
You should turn it around.
But it is, again, it's just so much fun to see them together and to see them have fun together.
Yes. Even if Kirito is occasionally harassing his female teammates.
Again, one of the things I hate about this particular episode, it's like, here's something you love. Now here's something you hate.
When you get mad at it, just think about the, like the awesome power Sinon had in the last episode where she beat the crap out of creepy guy.
Yeah. The boombox, that was pretty great.
Or just in general, just fighting him off, that was great. So just think about that when you get mad at stuff like that.
Yeah, I will do my best.
Think about the show's good moments.
It's an abusive relationship.
It really is. And we keep coming back.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we go on to episode 16, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate and comment and subscribe. We really appreciate it. AfterBuzz TV puts out over 80 hours of free content every week, which means the people behind the scenes work over 90 hours to give you this content. And it really means the world to us when you go and you leave a comment, you rate, because it lets our bosses know that you like this show and that you like the type of show that we're putting on here at AfterBuzz, and it enhances the quality of the network as a whole, and that's how we're able to get guests and do all sorts of other things.
Yes, Josh was like, wait a minute, like, do they have good ratings on iTunes? Because I am not going to come into this studio unless they have good ratings. And he looked, and he did, and they did, and he was like, okay, I'm there.
So leave us five stars if you want us to talk to cool people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh, we want us to talk to cool people.
1 to 5 stars, how cool are you?
Six stars.
100 stars.
So many stars.
Anyway, so thank you guys. And we also love the people who go and rate and comment on iTunes or YouTube
as well.
Sorry. But especially for you guys who don't give spoilers on YouTube, we really appreciate that as we've been getting caught up. But anyway, let's go ahead and move on to episode 16, King of the Giants.
Death Giants.
I just say that at the end of last episode, we're watching the credits roll, and I'm going, you know what? I think that the AI are going beyond their bounds, because it seems like this quest is way too big to have something planned without it being, like, I'm talking about this, discussing that it seems like the AI are just kind of doing their own thing. And I'm used to .hack sign, in which the AI do indeed do their own thing, and stuff goes down. So we're talking about this, and then,
and
lo
and
behold, 30 seconds into this episode, so the AI are doing their own thing.
Yes! Dollar for every time she says .hack, dollar for every time she says
Shonen.
Oh, just take shots. You'll be happier.
No, because I need the money to buy the liquor to do the shots. Do you see this pattern? Go on.
But what we have here is an automated quest system that's like based on the Cardinal system from the original SAO. And what it's done is it's essentially creating its own lore, because it's based on a lot of lore with Norse mythology and everything like that. And so it's creating its own lore. And I gotta say, I love this sequence where it's showing different legends, things from history and things like that.
Because it shows Napoleon.
Yeah, that the system uses to create quests. Because, yeah, it uses lore and popular culture and just things that exist within our world and the stories that exist within our world to automatically create an infinite number of quests. And sure enough, one of the things they show is the ring and Jason from Friday the 13th. And I was like, I would totally play the ring quest or the Friday the 13th quest.
I would not. We just got out of a horror movie.
What was the ring?
Right.
It
showed an image of the girl coming out of the well.
Yeah. Oh my god, the ring, the ring.
Yeah,
oh
the ring.
I missed the ring. I think it's freaking Schmee, my voice.
No,
I was confused.
Ringu.
The ring. Ringu. Okay,
no,
ring you.
That.
Yeah.
That ring.
7 days.
It freaks me out every time I got off a water ride in Japan and one of the girls like had their hair over their face and I was like, there's like too many.
Well, yeah, and don't feel bad because it was only, like, if you didn't go back, you would have missed it.
Like, I caught it and then we had to rewind it so she could catch it because I was like, that's the ring!
What? Would not play that.
And we just got done with the Scream arc, so I would totally watch the Ring arc.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
They basically figure out that, yeah, this game has created Ragnarok for itself. It is literally going to end the world of this game and destroy the world maps of this game irreparably and unrecoverably if we don't complete this quest.
Right.
So, man, isn't it lucky that our main character showed
just,
up at the
just
right
happened
time.
To be in the right place.
Yeah, right. Hey, it was main character. It was not showing a protagonist.
You're about to say it.
I like this sequence mostly because, like, it actually gave everything stakes. Whereas it was just like, before, it was all these kids just going, oh, we're going to find this item. But it's like, no, if you don't do this, this whole place that you love is going to be gone forever.
And they have, like, 3 hours in which to do this. They have this little gem that goes, when the entire gem goes black, all of my people will be dead. The quest will be over. So you can watch genocide occur as this gem darkens. It's like, that's creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is nice to actually give this a little bit of stakes, but I do feel very, like, it's kind of similar to the entire Alfheim arc with the exception of, you know, trying to save Asuna, in that it is just a game, but there are stakes involved.
Because what will date nights be between Asuna and Kirito if, you know, she's in Kyoto? Like, they can't go to a cafe then if the freaking world doesn't exist. So we must save it.
They can all go over to Gungale.
There you go. Yeah, just go over to Gungale. It's not that big a deal.
But it's a nice change to have the stakes be it will destroy the game as opposed to real people will die.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a nice
change.
See,
I'm more intrigued when real people will die. I'm like, oh, that's why I liked the last arc so much is because it was a murder mystery.
But you're also the one who called it being Scream 2 episodes in.
But afterwards, but in the end, though, I think it's nice after we've had, like, serious. And it's kind of like,
and that's the other
we're
going
to get into the game itself and, you know, the oh God, consequences and everything that happens within the game. But again, it's more of a lighthearted, it's better for us to basically enjoy it. Knowing that, like, okay, you're not going to die.
No one's going to die. It's like, here, you get a little room to breathe. Yeah, get a little room to
and
laugh.
Obviously, I hope it, like, ends within, like, you know, several episodes. It's not like doesn't take up all of it, like
it's
the other
one. It's a 3-episode arc.
Yes, yeah, so
this
get
one's
bored
really
with it,
short.
So, yeah.
And then I think we get after that we get into the next big arc. But anyway, so we do that, and then as they're going through trying to complete this quest, we get a really kind of awesome boss fight with this seemingly really tough, like, golden bull thing. I don't know what it was. But it was just so cool to see them all fight together.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Kirito looks really badass fighting.
He's still broken.
But it's nice that it wasn't just, stand back, guys, I'll take care of this. It was great to see them all fight and all contribute and all matter in this one. Because I don't hate Kirito, but I'm more intrigued by a lot of these other guys. And so it was nice to see them all work together and play off
Kirito
each other.
Kirito only is like that if he's like, wait, guys, there's real stakes and lives involved. But now it's like a video game world, so he's like, I mean, we could probably make it again. I mean, you guys can jump in if you want. I mean, I'll just, like, over here and heal for a little bit. So,
And how cool was it when Sinon, like, jumped up onto the thing and shot an arrow directly at its head?
Yeah.
That
was
probably
very
my
Legolas.
Favorite part.
How cool was Asuna showing up and just being like, I got this.
was the best moment
that
of the
amazing.
Whole fight. So, like, because you just see the bull smiling, like, I've got you,
people.
Yes. and then she just, out of nowhere, the whack, final blow.
They don't call her the lightning flash for nothing.
Yeah.
The whack. Just, oh, she's magical support. Oh, no, she's still terrifying.
She still kicks a lot of ass.
This
great.
Is the girl who keeps our main character in line. Yeah, she's terrifying.
Yeah.
Anybody else thought it was weird? And I'm sorry, this is going back to the other episode, but anybody else think it was weird when she wasn't introduced as the girlfriend?
Well, no, they've all met before.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, but when Sinon was... Oh, yeah.
Oh, you mean like two
episodes? Yeah, no, she'd met at the end of the...
Yeah, Sinon, or Asada and Asuna met in real life, and okay. So there's not necessarily any need.
I was catching up. My bad, everybody, because I seriously was catching up for the last, like, 2 weeks that I missed, so, like, I have a lot of episodes in my head today. So.
It is okay. But speaking of deja vu, that's kind of what we get, too,
I'm
when
so
this
California.
Fight...
Deja vu. Speaking of, sorry.
Like, oh my god. Continue. Like, I'm like trying to recap the episode. OMG.
Never
no.
do that again.
No. I'm going to leave now.
Sorry. It's a little too easy to slam. I don't actually talk like that.
I'm
that's
stuck between her and the wall.
It's stereotypical Valley girl talk. I don't talk like that. Anyway.
Do you, like, not really? Like, oh my
Stop
god,
it.
You've been lying
Go
to
on.
Me.
Anyway.
Like, my whole life.
Anyway, so we do get this kind of explanation from Klein. He's like, oh, dude, how are you able to do that? Because Kirito, again, is cheating. He's dual-wielding, but not actually dual-wielding. He's cheating. He's single-hand wielding with both hands, which is dual-wielding, Kirito. Yeah. You're a cheater. Just say that you're a cheater. It's all right.
We get it. You've been doing it since the beginning.
But
we understand.
But it was really funny to kind of get this flashback because it was literally almost the exact same conversation that we had in SAO. So that was kind of funny. But anyway, after they defeat this boss and they defeat another one, and they basically determined that they have about 30 more minutes before to get to the final boss, and then 30 minutes after that to beat that final boss. So they're on a time crunch. And so they go and they pass by a girl in a cage. And I just loved everyone's reactions to it. Everyone was like, it's a trap.
It's a trap.
It's a trap.
Totally a trap.
It's a trap. It's totally a trap.
And Klein's just like, are you sure? I don't want to leave her. And she's in there going, please help me, heroes. In this...
Because it's
sexy,
an NPC.
Sexy, attractive pose, because thank you, show.
But it's an NPC. I'll let it go for being an NPC. If it was an actual person, I'd be like, I hate you, show. Stop hurting me.
Someone had to make the choice to program that.
Yep.
It was a nod to the last
album. No!
It was a nod to that. Never mind.
Anyway, so, but Klein decides he can't leave her, even though she's an NPC and not an actual person, Klein.
And that it's probably a trap anyway. My samurai heart won't let me abandon her.
Even if it destroys the world that I paid money for and that I theoretically pay that subscription for.
I can't let it go.
He goes and he lets her out, and then she joins their party as an NPC, and it's Freya. And for anybody who knows Norse mythology, she is somebody to take note of.
Yes.
And should I wait, or do you want to go into the explanation?
Let's get to the end of the explanation, and then I will share my research with the class.
Looking forward to that. Anyway, so they go, and she's joined their party, and that's when they come across Thymir? I think that's his name?
Too many consonants.
I don't know.
Like, literally all consonants.
But he's the king of the frost giants, and he's basically... He offers them a deal. He's like, hey guys, I know you're here to, like, defeat me and stuff, but...
He's also a valley girl.
Yeah. He's also totally a valley girl. But if you instead help me, you can take as much gold, and I won't kill you. And of course, they're not going to take any of that because the world that they know and love will be destroyed.
And Klein's like, you didn't offer me a pretty woman, so no.
And that's the other thing, is that Freya was brought here to marry him and refused, obviously, and so that's why he put her in the cage. And now that she's joined their party, she's maxed out all of their HP.
She's
which
increased
is really,
their max HP.
Exactly.
Which is unheard of.
Which is really cool. And so having her, it was probably a good thing that they didn't just leave her. Because we were kind of expecting that it was going to be all Legend of Zelda,
in that
where you've got that escort mission in Link to the Past, and you have to take her out of the dungeon, and you wind up in the boss room, and there's nothing there, and she walks into sunlight, freaks out, turns into a monster, and then you have to kill her.
Yeah, I thought she was going to be the boss.
I know, right?
Flashbacks.
It's like boss fight in a cage.
But when, obviously, and it's nice to see Klein being chivalrous.
And right.
Nice
to see him being right.
But, of course, they're refused, and that's where this episode ends, is right before the big fight. So this next episode, theoretically, we're going to have a gigantic boss fight, which is all sorts of cool. Yeah. But Katie has some research that she wants to share with us.
So I did my research, because one of the things that came up is Leafa saying, wait, I've heard a story about this, because Freya was talking about something was stolen from her clan. She needs to get it back. Well, there's a Norse poem, there's a Norse story where something like this occurs, and it turns out that Thymir stole Mjolnir, the hammer. That is my thinking noises. You stop that. Stole Thor's hammer, Mjolnir, and demanded Freya as his wife in payment. And the Norse, instead of sending Freya down, because why would you do that, put Thor in a dress.
Yes.
And dress up Loki as his bridesmaid.
Yes.
And send them down.
Beautiful.
And the Frost Giants cannot tell the difference.
Good.
So it's this entire comedy of Thor doing incredibly mannish, unladylike things and Loki making excuses right up until the point where they bring Freya the Mjolnir as a wedding gift, at which point Thor picks it up and murders everyone.
So it's a nod to Gungale.
I'm just waiting for them to find the hammer in this treasure store and for Freya to turn into Thor and just be the best summon ever. Yes. I would love this. They worked in cross-dressing Thor. I'm so happy.
Sorry, you were going to say something?
Oh, no, I said I would pay money if they just, like, instead of, like, a side project or, like, instead of having, like, a preview to the end of after the Avengers movie and they have another one, or, like, in Captain America, I would love just to watch that, like, as a 10-minute story.
Cross-dressing Thor. Once you know that, it's kind of hard not to picture Chris Hemsworth
in a beautiful pink dress.
Beautiful. He does have the locks.
He has everything.
I'm picturing Josh wearing a dress right now just because it's this very manly beard. And it's just like, yeah, it would definitely bring out his eyes, I think.
Pink. No.
Pink.
We don't make our guests wear dresses.
Unless they choose to.
Anyway.
No pressure.
But that basically does wrap it up for this episode. So since we've got time, I want to talk to you, Josh, about your role here on SAO and just about your career in voice acting in general.
Okay.
What's your favorite color?
Green.
Stop. Yeah, all right.
Nice.
I want to know.
How did you get involved with SAO? You said this is your kind of first big anime role that's actually on TV. How did the audition process
come
about?
And explain that, too, because I also want to know, what other works did you do that just didn't get on TV? Or is it, like, direct to DVD?
I mean, big role seems like a bit of an overstatement, but I actually originally auditioned for another, like, minor 1-2 episode character. He's and now I can't remember his name, but he's a guy who dies in, like, episode 4 or 5. He has some name like Klaus, some German name.
Kata? Maybe? I don't know.
No.
He was actually played by Keiji Tang at the end of the day.
The murder mystery.
Yeah.
The initial introduction of Laughing Coffin.
Oh, Schmidt!
Yeah, Schmidt. That's it. So I had auditioned for Schmidt, and somehow that audition got me Eugene, because I never actually auditioned specifically for Eugene.
Nice!
So, but yeah, before that, the only other anime I had done was, it's called Nora, Rise of the Yokai Clan, Demon Capital.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And I don't think that one got on TV. I think it was on one of those online-only ones, yeah, like Neon Alley. But yeah, so that was my first anime on TV, and that was Eugene.
All right.
Nice.
And he was cool. And again, probably one of the best things about the Alfheim arc was just kind of that awesome fight scene. And so what's it like when you record for that and you actually get to kind of go back and watch it in context to just kind of hear your own voice coming out of this big, giant badass?
I mean, it's really cool. I got to see parts of the fight, at least the parts that had real dialogue and grunts and all that while we were recording. But yeah, seeing it all together as one big sequence It was really cool. I was like, this is something that I'd like to like stick in a demo somewhere just because it looks really cool.
Now I know we usually ask these kinds of questions to a lot of the voice actors that come in to visit us because we know it's a matter of matching the mouth flaps and it's a totally different. But mm-hmm. Do you watch it first? Like, do you watch the actual scene clip by clip, like in Japanese, and then they mute it and you pay attention to the mouth before you really enact it? But do they play the Japanese part so you get like the emotion that you're supposed to put into the character?
Yep, that's exactly right. Yeah, they
sweet. So it's like I was there.
They just do it. No, they just do it shot by shot. I usually don't get to see the whole thing at first. But
that'd
be
confusing. You'll see. Remember how many mouth flaps were in that 2 minutes we just played for you?
Yeah, you'll see the scene, and they'll play it usually once, and then they're like, "All right, we're going to give you the beeps, and you're going to actually record on the next one." And
yeah, that's awesome.
Now, yeah.
Because of the technical aspect of that, though, do you find that makes it really hard to actually stay in character because there's so much focus on that technical aspect of it?
I mean, it's my favorite thing to do is obviously pre-lay, where you can just have at it and go off the script and you just know your lines and you're just in it. But you get used to it really quickly when you're doing the lip flaps. It usually doesn't become the limiting factor. They'll say, "Oh, just make that a little longer, a little shorter," and usually if it's just a little bit off from the flaps, the editors can take care of the rest.
Can you imagine how easy it was for back in, like, I don't know when they recorded it, but whenever they did the dub for Speed Racer, like in the 70s or something, how easy those voice actors had it? Like, you're not really going to pay attention to the lip flaps because they're talking this fast anyways. Just really go about it and just go, ha! At the end,
no,
and you think you're running out of time.
Actually, it was way, way more difficult. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Stephanie Shea a while ago when we did the one-on-one interview, and she was talking about how she talked to one of the actors who was on, like, Voltron.
Oh, wow.
Way back in the day, and you're basically flying blind because it's not like it is today where you can just go back and redo the scene. It's just like you have to record, like, and hope that was a good take.
Oh,
you got to take by stopwatch, right? They're just like, you have 30 seconds. Put it in there.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's
it makes
not
sense,
like it is
though,
today.
That every time Speed Racer was like, oh, like maybe the voice actor was just really out of breath. He was like, and I really hope they were like, oh, like that's what I'm going to go with.
But it is different now.
Anyway,
when you record, is it normally the beep system? Because I know that there are a couple different kind of ways to go about it.
That's anything I've done, either anime or video games, where I'm dubbing over another language, it's always been the beeps.
How long have you been doing voiceovers for? And was animation always the main one that you wanted to work for?
Animation was always my big focus, and video games.
Yeah.
I really am. I'm a gamer too. I'm really into that. But so in actual studio work, I only started this like 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So I'm very much a newbie to this part of the industry. But online, new media stuff, I've been voice acting on like Newgrounds.com and doing Flash animations and all kinds of amateur stuff since about 2006 when I was 18.
Oh,
or,
nice.
No, I was 20, I guess. But,
Damn.
Can I ask what stuff you've been in Newgrounds?
Oh.
Just anything really big?
I mean, I did a couple things for Ego Raptor, and I used to do a lot of stuff. And
Ego Raptor did the animation. I'm friends with there's a comedy group called Ninja Sex Party.
Yeah,
and they did
Danny
the whole,
and
And I did he did the animation for a dinosaur laser party. It was amazing.
Yeah. That sounds like the best party.
It really is. It was amazing. There were sharks with lasers on their heads.
Nice.
That's all I've ever wanted.
A lot of little things that probably didn't get out quite that much, but still were a lot of fun and a lot of high quality productions. I've all my best friends are animators now, mostly people I met on Newgrounds, and my wife is also an animator.
Nice.
We have a YouTube channel together it's called Jaxamoto.
How do you spell that?
Jaxamoto.
Okay.
It's my online, her online screen name was Jaxie and mine was Tomomoto for.
Aww,
I'm not even going to bother explaining that.
They merged.
But we just sort of fused it together. That was before we got married, but
good thing it worked out, because then you would have to fight over the name.
But she's a great animator, and I like writing stuff and doing voices, and we have a lot of cool friends who are great actors too, and we all just make stuff.
Awesome.
The channel's doing pretty well.
Yeah,
good.
Well.
Nice.
So acting, was that just something you kind of fell into then because you started doing this for fun? Or did you always kind of want to be an actor?
I mean, I think I always wanted to be an actor. I didn't do a ton of theater, but I was in... I did drama in high school, and I was in the repertory theater class, and I can't say I've done a lot of stage plays. I'm really bad at memorizing lines. Voice acting was just right up my alley because you always have a script in front of you.
It's awesome.
And no one's looking at you. But you can wear whatever you want in the booth.
But yeah, I've always been, ever since forever, I've been a cartoon and game enthusiast, so that's always where I wanted to work anyway. So voice acting is just... perfect for what I want to do.
Do you remember the first animation series or anything, or even video game, whatever came first? What was, like, as a kid growing up, what do you think was your inspiration to be like, you know what, I would totally love to do voiceovers because this kind of inspired me to do that?
I want to say stuff like Cow and Chicken is one that really comes to mind.
Charles Adler did, like, every voice.
Yeah, no, Charlie Adler is still, like, my idol, and I've been in the same room with him before, usually just at workshops, and he scares the heck out of me. Because he's very intimidating. He's so good, and he's so energetic, and he's the kind of the guy I look up to, and he's awesome.
So if you could voice any role, what would it be, then? What's your... dream role?
I don't know that I have a dream role. I'd like it to be an original character. So
I don't
that it's
know if I have a dream.
something I can build up myself. But I really like the really heroic,
macho
sort of announcery kind of character where I can talk like this. And I've gotten to use that voice so far once for a cartoon pilot that I guess I'm probably not allowed to talk about beyond the fact that it's a pilot. It's not that big of a deal, just, you know.
Probably better, those NDAs.
Yeah, probably
better not mess with that.
Yeah.
We'll talk after the show.
That was Tari's porn voice.
But no, yeah. We will leave that NDA intact. We will leave that NDA intact.
Indeed.
So aside from the YouTube channel that you and your wife work on, are you guys currently doing, like, on your channel, do you do set projects, or is it one kind of thing, or is there anything, what are you currently working on that you're kind of proud of, that you're excited to be pitching on it?
That you can talk about.
Yes.
No, well, on our channel, I can talk about whatever. No, we have an ongoing series, Admin Craft, which is sort of, it's so, you know, Minecraft stuff is real big anyway. Yeah. And I was running a Minecraft server for a few years because I'm also a big computer nerd, and I'm just a server guy. That's what I do on my non-voice acting time.
And tech support day jobs.
But it's a, yes. It's a cartoon that's basically all about my experience running an admin craft server. So awesome. Almost relatable to Sword Art, really.
Does anyone ever get stuck in it?
Yeah. No, we came up with all kinds of systems. There's this whole gag that's been running for the last few episodes about we have a room. When a user comes on the server for the first time, they spawn in a room that's just a closed room, and there's a big sign with all the server rules on it. And I don't want to give too much away, but why not? Basically, the door,
exclusive.
The only door, everything's locked, so no one can destroy any of the walls in that room. Everything's protected. So the only way to get out is actually a little doorway that's behind the sign. But that's written on one of the many, you know, text blocks that's on that wall. And we'll constantly have people who are going out. There's a fake exit that just leads to a big drop off into a, like a pile, like a pool of lava, where you instantly die and then respawn back in the room. So yeah, that's been an ongoing joke, kind of explaining how that works. Because we had a lot of people who would just continuously die over and over again, and they'd be complaining over the public chat. How do I get out of this room? And we're just like, just read the rules.
That's wonderful. Oh my gosh. That's fantastic.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, is there, aside from that, any projects that you're working on that you can maybe talk about that might be coming up soon, whether, you know, you do a lot of the people who come here do audiobooks, or if you're doing any other video game voices or animes that you want to kind of do a shout out for that you're excited about?
That's the thing. I never know what I can talk about.
I just don't want to get in trouble.
Better err on the side of caution.
Yeah. I mean, I did one of my first roles I actually got over at Bang Zoom where we did Sword Art was... I voiced Trundle and another guy for League of Legends.
Nice.
Oh.
So that was my first like role that I got through that. I think it was the first video game thing I recorded in the studio. And I've done a bunch of other like incidentals for a bunch of other games with them. And yeah, like I said, I'm still kind of a rookie in all this.
No, I know, but I love speaking with you because you really strike me as somebody who's like, you're just basically a nerdy fan like all of us. And you're like, but it's kind of cool I got to do this. But I'm just like you guys. Here's my screen name. We'll go play it later on.
Turn into Matthew McConaughey.
Basically.
I'm pretty nerdy.
Sorry.
Well, when I kind of always like to know, because we do get to talk to a lot of actors, and with voice acting in general, it's not like necessarily with stage acting where you get the script and you get to go over it and you have to memorize it and you really get a lot of time to process the kind of character you're playing. For a lot of voice acting, it's just like, okay, here's the script and go. Do you kind of like that? I've got to think on my feet, or do you kind of prefer a little bit more time to digest?
Oh no, I actually like the going in knowing almost nothing and just going for it. I feel like when you're in the moment and you haven't been rehearsing something and you haven't been just getting, because I'm sure you guys can understand when you overthink something and,
yes.
and you get sort of caught up in your own mind and you can almost ruin it by doing that.
Yeah.
Oh,
I feel more comfortable just being led into a room and handed a script to be like, all right, this is basically what the character is. And that's how it usually is. So
with life,
it's a lot of fun. I think I thrive in the situations where I have less time to prepare.
I'm thinking that's how he proposed to his wife. Like, I just kind of got this, and like, here, will you be with me? I think it's more genuine. It's from the heart.
So you like going with your gut feeling with a performance then? Like, mm-hmm. the initial reaction is probably the best one.
Yeah, and just let the director correct from there. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So since you don't really get a lot of time to like interact with a lot of other actors, do you like that kind of one-on-one with the director, or do you kind of wish that there would be more people to play off of every now and then?
Oh, I'd love doing, because that pilot I mentioned earlier that I can't say anything else about, that's the only time I've ever done anything where everybody was in the room reading together.
That's awesome.
And that was a lot of fun, but I know very few things are done that way because so many of the big voice actors, they're busy and it's hard to get them all in a room together.
Scheduling,
Yeah.
But I feel like that must be really fun. But I feel like that would be more of an incident where if you're doing an animated series, when they're recording the voices first before they actually animate, I feel like they do that more often in those scenarios, correct? I could be wrong. I don't know.
Could you repeat that? I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Like original animation.
Yeah,
table
like,
reads is something that's more
common
with original animation.
Yeah, definitely. Fun. Yeah, I think with anime, it's the idea of a table read is very uncommon. But yeah, original stuff is the stuff I'm really striving to do the most. Anime is fun, don't get me wrong. But original work is where I feel like you get to have the most input into.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times, I know with original stuff, the script is even kind of loose and they're willing to adapt to the actor if you have something to contribute.
They let you improv a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm laughing
like building
a little
the character
bit.
Together.
I'm laughing a little bit the way he's like, don't get me wrong. I mean, like, he's expecting us just throw our mugs down and crack it open. What'd you say? Take that back.
No, I've watched my share of anime for sure. I don't watch as much lately.
Yeah.
But
I think all of us
I don't
can
think
say
any
that
of
fairly.
Us do. Honestly, yeah, I hadn't watched a lot of, I used to watch a lot of anime, but prior to actually coming in and doing stuff for AfterBuzz, there, like, I hadn't watched a lot
it's
in
been a hot
recent
minute.
Years. Yeah. So,
Tiger
it's kind
and
of,
Bunny.
It's kind of nice to actually have an excuse to sit down and watch something that I like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the last anime reference thing that I ever did was I was really obsessed with, like, Fullmetal Alchemist, and then Brotherhood came out, and then I got a tattoo, and I'm like, all right, I'm kind of done with this. And then Sony Crystal came out, and I'm like, oh my god! So that's basically it. That and
well, yeah, it's a lot of fun. We're all nerds here. It's all right.
Yeah.
But we are running a little short on time. Is there anything else you want to you can talk about real quick that you want to promote? Or if not, where can fans online go to find out more about you and about the work that you do?
I mean, I always want to promote my YouTube channel, obviously. I think I already did that, but it is, yeah.
Do it again.
It's jaxamoto.com or youtube.com/jaxamoto, JAXAMOTO. And if you like video game parody stuff and Minecraft and any of that, I recommend checking it out.
Sweet.
And
Twitter or anything?
I'm Tomamoto on Twitter, TOMAMOTO. yeah, that's about it.
That's right. Good.
That's all you need.
Thank you so, so much for joining us. It was an absolute pleasure to get to talk to you today.
It was great talking to you guys, too.
Yeah. Feel free to come back anytime.
All right.
Anyway, Tari Miller, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, at Tari J. That's T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y. You can also find me on panels here at AfterBuzz TV. For example, the Legend of Korra panel right after this one.
Liz.
Hey, I was waving because I'm on that panel with him next.
Yeah.
You can find Liz Rishmawi. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Lizzie Maui. That's L-I-Z-Z-Y-M-A-W-Y. You can also check me out on future panels here at AfterBuzz TV, including this one, Sora Online, The Legend of Korra. I'm trying to sneak my way into Doctor Who, a couple more. We'll be back for the Christmas episode at least. And yeah, just follow me on those things and find out more.
Katie.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter and Tumblr at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I am also on the Z Nation, Arrow, and Star Wars Rebels panels.
Woo! Fun. And I'm Megan. You can follow me on Twitter at The Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. Thank you, Stephen Lemieux in the booth on the ones and twos for engineering tonight.
Yep.
Yay!
Yep. That's all he said tonight. Yep, and asad.
And thank you again, Joshua, for joining us tonight. Again, it was so much fun talking to you today.
You guys too.
All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will talk to you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.